Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I have an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just remind how to join us. We have a talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, star 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com. And search for call ID 17702, our Starfleet Universe on call, our SFU on call. Any of those should find us there. And if you contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall at gmail.com. Also, you'll follow me on Twitter /X/ whatever it's called this week. You can follow me on the SFU on call podcast account, or you can also follow my personal account, Paul Franz, PaulFranz. And of course, last and certainly not least is the Franz Games one. And quick news from A to B this week. Steve Patrick is still busy working on the Orion Master Starship book. Also, the found on the online store this week is Battle Wagon 2nd Edition 1984. It's only $15. And this is the description, which is back in 1980, someone around the Task Force Games office saw a really great photograph of Iowa class battleship firing its guns and said that would be a great game cover. Then someone said, oh, since Starfleet Battles, which we had published a year before, is based on loosely on the Avalon Hill Jutland, why don't you just reverse engineer into a World War II battleship game? And the result was Battle Wagon. The first published in 1981 as a pocket game, then republished a larger 8.5x11 format in 1984. The second 1984 edition, which corrected the expanded rules and of the original pocket game. The scan includes the 48 pages plus counters and the hex map. The game is a hex counter-based and was not really intended for naval miniatures. It covers everything from the smallest destroyer to the largest super battleship and covers World War I and World War II. That data includes the Austrian, British, French, German, Italian, Japanese, Dutch, Russian, and U.S. battleships. Scenarios include, among others, Falklands, 1914, Dogger Bank, 1915, Jutland, 1916, the River Plot, 1939, Denmark Strait, 1941, and the Guadalcanal, 1942. And there also are rules to create your own scenarios. So it sounds like a nice battleship game, obviously from World War II, so there's no missiles and things like that from modern naval warfare. But it sounds like an interesting game. Moving on onward and forward, when it comes to Starfleet Warlord, the updated website is now available for people to access. You know, it took me a little bit longer than expected, but it is completed. And since it is different, it's mainly static-based, so there's less going on. Actually, there's one thing I got to update the privacy because I no longer track. Well, I don't know. That's still true, though. I still kind of track people using the access logs, but less tracking than previously. I no longer have cookies. I don't use cookies at all on the website. So, you know, I'm actually GDPR compliant. Wow, the concept. But that's completed. Also, when it comes to the SFB Online tournament, you know, the Sapphire 15 tournament, the finals are set. It's going to be Peter Bakia in the Gorn versus Jeff Clark in the ISC. Now, the only issue at the moment is that Jeff is in Japan, and Peter is on the East Coast. So the time zone difference always makes it a challenge. But, you know, hey, Jeff has done this in the past, meaning he's made to the finals. He's played other players while he's in Japan. So I'm sure they'll be able to complete that. It's not yet started. They're still trying to figure out exactly what time they will be playing the finals. And when it comes to the library, obviously no, well, not obvious. There is no progress either in the SFB Online or the FedCom Online libraries for this week. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the Millennial Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just me and it's Doug. I'm not sure where Jeff is. I'm sure he's driving the lonely roads out there in the Midwest and West. I think he's mainly in the Midwest. But does a lot of driving. Does a lot of driving. And it is possible at some point I might actually connect him with him in the Midwest, because at some point would like to actually head out to like Colorado. There is a gathering of Timberleaf trailer owners in Colorado, and they have it once a year. And I actually mentioned it to one of the YouTubers that I follow, and he has one, and that he went out to it. And I said, you know, that's someplace I'd really like to meet up with him. Now the one thing that I've not done yet in my trailer, I've gotten close, haven't quite done it yet, which is boondocking, which is what this would kind of require, i.e. Going out in the wilderness with the trailer, but no power, no water, you know, no facilities. So I've not done that one yet. Excuse me, folks. Normally I let you do this. You can stay there. Sorry, I have my previous laptop sitting on top of my printer, and then my cat gets on top of my computer, which is on top of my printer, and my parental concerns kick in. What is the worst thing could possibly happen? He could jump off, and it could have the laptop go flying, and it could break a good laptop, a perfectly good laptop. And it's like, no. I would like to avoid that situation. So had to grab it and put it on the side. So, but anyhow, actually, when it comes to the trailer, I'm getting it ready for winter. So I should already prepped it like half a month ago, but it's fine. I got some dehumidifier crystals, not crystals, but stuff, so it'll absorb any water that gets in the trailer, because it's a teardrop, so I don't have to worry about running water. I don't have to worry about winterizing it, because I don't have any water. It doesn't actually store water. You know, the only water it stores, I have a 5-gallon or 2-gallon. I forget which is a 5 or 2-gallon jug. But you know, for the trailer, it's kind of thin, and it's really nice. It works out quite well when needed. And also, I have an additional collapsible thing for water if I need that. But otherwise, there's no weatherizing to do. The only thing I have to do is it has a solar panel, so I have to pull the circuit breaker so that I don't have to worry about it charging and discharging the battery, which is a lithium battery. And it should be fine. I ordered a tarp for it to cover it. So that should be coming tomorrow. So I'll probably get that all set this Saturday. Probably when I'll be doing that. But anyhow, get back to actually SFU on call. Something at least related to Starfleet Universe. By the way, I don't have a set topic for this evening at the moment. I'm completely winging this, so that's going to be the kind of night it's going to be tonight. So, anyhow, I figured I did mention this in the news portion, so if you're listening to this post-broadcast, which is probably most of you, since I only have Doug with me, and we, of course, got guest Dave. I don't see anyone currently in the chat room on Twitch, but that doesn't mean there's no one there. Maybe no one said hi. So anyone's in the chat room, hi.
Hi.
But anyway, which is the new website for Starfleet Warlord is now up and running, and I switched over to it. And it, as I mentioned in the news portion, it should be better. I should be able to update it more often because I've simplified the whole process. So I just have to
sorry.
Okay. Nick, do you have a mute on mute? Do you have a mute button?
Yeah, I just didn't hit it in time. Sorry.
Okay. I'm just asking. So next time, if you could try to hit the mute button, that'd be great.
All right.
Okay, great. Thanks. So I can easily generate the website. You know, it's using one of those static generators. So most of the stuff is static. There's only a little bit of code that runs on the server. And I've made it so that it's as lightweight as possible. So I should be able to update it relatively quickly, i.e. one of those things I should be able to do now with relative ease is to update the game page that shows what games are being played, what are the current turns. So I should have no issue there. Okay. Thanks, Dave. Big Slow Target is now on Twitch. So I don't see, Chris doesn't seem to be over there. And I guess Dave, I'm not sure if you're just hanging out over there too or not. But anyway, so that should make things easier there. I'll probably be doing the same thing. I plan actually for those who are interested. One thing I definitely have also planned on doing is doing the same kind of thing for the SFU on call website. I'm gonna update it. I'm probably gonna stick with the same static generator because it's relatively simple to do. The only thing that bugs me about it is that it is written, it's using Ruby. Yeah, it's using Ruby. So using gems and that kind of thing, which I'm not familiar with Ruby, as you know, when it comes to the back end language. But you know, for the most part, it's pretty simple to get up and running. So I'm not too bothered by it at all. That is written in Ruby. The only time it bothers me at all is when I start to think about running an extension or do something along those lines. And that's when it's like, okay, I can't do that. But anyhow, if you see when that happens, because here's the thing, currently I use Rapid Weaver to generate the website. Now the problem is with Rapid Weaver is like the $100 subscription every year, which I think is insane. In my mind, I think it's freaking insane for what I use it for. What I use it for, I think it's insane. So Because I don't use any of the plugins. I don't do a lot of the more advanced stuff that you can use do with Rapid Weaver. So what I plan on doing is migrating from Rapid Weaver over to the same kind of static generator. I actually looked up, there's a way of actually have it so that it does support podcasts. That's going to be one thing that's going to be a danger, because I've seen it happen, which is there might be a danger for those who subscribe through the website itself, through SFU On Call, and don't use like iTunes or don't use the link on the talkshoe.com site, you know, those feeds. Those feeds won't change. The only feed that will change is if you subscribe through SFU On Call. That might change in that when I update it, the feed will change, and you might just you might have it so that every single episode of the podcast now is brand new, or considered brand new. So I'm gonna try to limit that, but I'm not sure. I can't guarantee anything. The server will still be the same server because of at the moment I have a small enough following when it comes to people downloading the podcast and that kind of thing, that I don't have to get something like Cashfly or some of these other caching. Oh, what's the other one?
Cash App.
What's that?
Cash App.
Oh. Yeah. And there's another one. I forget. There's an old one that has been doing this. Wow. The beginning of time.
PayPal?
Say it one more time.
PayPal?
Not PayPal.
Not PayPal? Huh.
No, it's not for paying for it. For supporting the download of content.
Oh.
It's like a CDN kind of thing, but it's not Cloudflare or any of those. They've been supporting podcasts for years, you know. But anyhow, it doesn't matter. I can currently, through my one little website, I can support all the downloads. I have enough bandwidth. I have not hit the cap there at all. It's not usually. It's fairly relatively quiet. So no issues there. So, you know, I said I have a small community, so I don't have to worry about some of the stuff that the larger podcasters had to deal with. So that's a good thing and a bad thing, you know, because obviously it would be nice to have a larger audience. But to get a larger audience, I definitely have to change things around a bit from what I currently do. I know I would. I'd have to update the quality to a greater degree, planning a lot more. I have to spend a lot more time on just the podcast. And there's other things I can be doing which could improve, like SFB Online and Starfleet Warlord, that I could spend that time on than this podcast. Because, you know, the reason for this podcast originally, over 10 years ago now, was obviously, well, not obviously, obviously, you know, to talk to you guys, you know, to have a voice out there in the wilderness. Hold on. Keep doing this. I forgot to apologize, guys, that I forgot. There. Forgot to mute my little things and things. But the one of also the reasons is I wanted to build a community. You know, the idea is having a set time every single week that we could all get together. You know, those who are interested can get together and we can chat about our favorite game. You know, obviously it has not grown. Actually, at one point we had quite a few people quite a few people, as in we get up to like five or six people live chatting, which was actually incredible. I enjoyed it tremendously. Obviously, if I want to get people to online here, I can do it really quick, which is all I have to do is and get Steve Cole to stop by, and we can definitely get more people at least for that podcast. And I know that is okay. What is it? Sorry. What is it, you goofball? I love you.
Oh, I love you too.
You want to say hello to everybody? Say hello to everybody.
Ooh. Hello, little pigeon.
Yes. Yeah, I saw Omaha. It's from the sounds of Erica that he's doing better at the bigger house, bigger place.
Oh, he's doing a lot better, yeah. He was adapting very well.
I'm glad. I'm glad. Well, he definitely has a bigger, more room to roam around.
Yeah, and I think the place is just a healthier place overall for everybody.
Yeah, agreed. That's good to hear. But yeah, moving on to obviously SFB Online. That's one thing I really should probably think about, which is updating the website for SFB Online. It's been a while. There's some other things that I've had in mind for a while for both Starfleet Warlord and SFB Online, which I need to work through. Which is but some of that requires some back end content. Yeah, I know. Chris Nuzzi stopped by and said, "Hi, Dave," and then mentioned that their Big Slow Target is also named Dave. So, anyhow, so we have one Chris and two Daves in the chat room and on Twitch. That's just for you guys' interest. And Dave, the one thing I've noticed, one thing you haven't been telling me about tonight's football game. That used to be a regular thing, but at this time of year, anyway,
Well, I have a question since we have no particular topic.
Sure, shoot.
Game is a winner. Don't have a schedule for SFB stuff yet, and I was just kind of wondering and thinking what would be a good thing that could be something people would want to do at that kind of event that's like not the normal weekend thing that they might do with some friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think might attract some people to come out? Because we tried, you know, the tournament thing, and we can try that again, but it's like people don't seem to want to come out for tournament play over the years. And you think maybe a scenario with miniatures or something like a large scenario might do it. You know, something like a massive, not necessarily a base assault, or maybe a base assault, maybe a Tholian scenario where they go in and take out a small station. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, geez.
I know it's a tough question because the game is so widely varied on what you can do. And it's like, you know, something like running an old campaign scenario or two where people switch roles and run it a second or third time, like the Long Gray Wolf. You know, maybe somebody you'll run that on Saturday and Sunday, mm-hmm. and the participants play on each side each day.
Yeah, because There's always the part about is, of course, it's a catch 22 situation overall, which is, do we want to have a, okay, is the idea of the scenario to draw people in? Because if it is, then okay, obviously, part of it is going to have to be the announcement and getting and basically getting people, getting the interest there for that. Because obviously, the best scenario in my mind usually is, was a PF Derby, is I think, yes, is there something I can help you with? Sorry, my kitty. Come on, Zooks, get down. Because always, you know, the great thing about the PF Derby is that people can get killed relatively quickly. People also, it's relatively simple, and it's very, and the great thing about PF Derby is that it's a very dynamic thing. If you have two people, it's fine. If you have 10 people, it's great. You know, the more people you have, the more fun it is. Obviously, in certain situations, actually 10 might be a little bit large. The only reason I say that because of, we always have, you have the problem then, the more people you have, the slower those turns can possibly go. The minimum movement for the most part should be relatively quickly. It's just, okay, actions. Okay, what are you going to do? That can slow down when you have too many people. But obviously, one thing I would love to do when it comes to scenario for gamers is I would love to have a base assault or the whole kind of juggernaut. I'm not saying to use the juggernaut ship, but the whole idea of one large ship, like maybe a B-11, something, you know, a large ship, and then have people join in to see, you know, to have, you know, the whole idea of lots of tiny or smaller ships against one large ship, you know, where I play as the GM, I play the large ship and everybody else is trying to knock me out.
The mighty Paul goes down.
Okay. Multiple battles. Piranha in a fishbowl. Each person gets two or three PFs for 1 to 2 hour battle, or also fleet combat or guarding the convoy. Yes, that's another one. Okay. Dave, the big slow target, said that he ran the piranha in the fishbowl, which is, as I quickly mentioned, which was each person gets two or three PFs for 1 to 2 hour battle, which is always interesting to do. And of course, the one question always when it comes to scenarios is SFB or FedCom. Obviously, for us, we like Starfleet battle. You know, we like that better than FedCom. Mm-hmm. And the question would be, which one will draw the most people? It's possible that, you know, the most people would be SFB, because that's the people we know, and that's the people. You think so? Do you think that SFB will draw more people? Okay. So, which means the critical thing for us is to gather them in, you know, contact, you know, probably do what probably is the best thing to do, at least in my mind, which is personal invitations, you know, call people directly, this person that we know from the SFB community, you know, and talk to them, or have to, you know, email them directly. not a blast, you know, email like in some, though, you know, obviously that can draw in some people that have not played or have not come yet. It's always good to announce it, because obviously the Gamers of Winter is going to be in February, and definitely we need to get things going for that. But you know, gather our forces. You know, I'm not sure. You know, I know some people. So the question is whether they'll be able to come, because some of them they used to live in the area and now they're gone from the area. Like Steve McCann, he lives in Jersey, which is that's a hike to get to Harrisburg.
Multi-hour drive, like 4 hours probably.
Mm-hmm. I forget where he lives in Jersey, whether it's north, central, or south.
Let's put it this way: 2 hours roughly from Philly. So however long it takes him to get through the bridges, hours depending on traffic.
Understood. And
on the other hand, also like massively convenient for the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
20 hotels around it, along with the hotel we're in. It's just that we have this weird thing where, you know, they said that, okay, the meeting rooms are all available, but we know the hotel is going to be booked solid by a different group that doesn't use any of the meeting rooms for what they do. They booked a hotel. Like, okay. But there's plenty of places around it for people that want to come from out of town.
Right.
They wouldn't want to commute every single day.
Right, right. Oh, understood. Yeah. You have to have people that would be willing to commit to actually coming and maybe staying one day, you know, and probably, you know, stay overnight, at least one night. And then maybe play some more for another half day and then go home, you know, that kind of thing. Which would, so 24 hours availability. Depends, you know.
What about doing some surveys? Like put a poll up in the SFC thread or a couple different SFC threads. Saying, hey, I'm looking to host something at Gamers of Winter. Would you be interested in the following? And then maybe add some options.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
It's just a thought.
No, understood.
When we used to go to Origins, they had a bunch of different like events along with the Gold Hat.
Mm-hmm.
And the patrol tournament and everything else.
Yeah. Later on, using most of those were F&E. I know ADB didn't sponsor them, didn't do anything themselves when it comes to outside the tournament. But, you know, players were more than happy to get together and play out a scenario.
Yeah, and you saw some of that. You saw, like, some of the little derbies there, some wedding cake scenarios and other stuff,
mm-hmm.
or something to do when not doing the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of just an interesting little thought there for you. You know, it's still like 3 months out.
Right.
But hey, look, it's like December in another hour or so. A couple hours, I think. And, you know, just remember how much it used to sneak up on us when we're talking about Martin Luther King weekend. We just have an extra month on top of that right now.
Oh, jeez. Sorry, just reading what Dave's been posting. And okay, let's do this, which is he's mentioning that the question that I generally ask is how try to figure out how to publish a lot of stuff. How do you find out about new stuff and you want to try our old stuff that you'd really be cool to do now? Jeez. Honestly, I don't know because I'm not that connected in. Really, the only thing I'm really connected into is the play by email, play by mail community. That's because I get a newsletter every single week about it and about the current games. And that's the only reason I even know about some of these other play by mail games at the moment. Now, one thing Dave also mentioned is that it would be nice to work out a way for people that tend to play people who are attending perhaps some sort of Starfleet battles, but online. And of course, this brings up the whole issue again with Origins. When it comes to the last few Origins that we had, where you could actually people would. Some people would play online, some people would play in person. Now, I think Paul Scott had it right in mentioning that basically you're asking someone to play in physical meat space versus someone who has the tools to play online. And usually the tools to play online there against people that were online, out in that they're not attending, the people who are not attending, they get there have their own setup that they've used for many years, and then you have this janky setup which is not yours, so it's not personalized to way you work online there because I had laptops that people could use to do it, but they wouldn't have like some people have these two or three screen setups which are for playing online. And they're asking, we're asking them to play online against these people using a different setup, which is a much poor setup. Well, okay. At the same time, Dave, I think having it so that it was televised, more I streamed, I think would be great. So that means to actually interact, you have to be there at the convention, which I think is right. And then stream so that if people want to watch the game, yeah, I think that's a great idea. And Lord knows, I've had more than one person, patient zero, that's mentioned that that's one thing that they would like to see. On this podcast, which is more live streaming, they want Patient Zero wants this to be more of a way of advertising to bring up to show Starfleet battles, show how exciting it can be. Have it. I'm not sure. What's the Star Wars game where it has the fighters? Forget what that is,
Oh,
but anyway,
yeah, I know
they're
what you mean.
X-Wing. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
And he was mentioning how they got there are some commentators to watch these X-Wing games, and they comment on as they're streaming it live, and of course they're recording it too. And I watched like a couple of them on maybe just one of them because it's a long stream of X-Wing, which can be quite exciting. Now, obviously you can do the same thing with Starfleet Battles. It's harder, obviously the tough part is getting it live streamed. These days I feel like it could be easier. I'm not sure. Obviously it all relies on a very solid internet connection, which is not always the case. you know, might be something that's going to be along the lines of record locally and then stream later, you know, things like that, which could more easily be done. Yeah. And Dave's mentioned, you know, how I mentioned how, you know, people that were at the Origins played at an inferior computer setup. And I was like, yeah. And that was the reality. So I don't want to try to do all. Oh, if you can't make it, you can still participate. You know, if you either you come and you can participate or you can't, and that's fine with me. Now, there's gonna be a big blowout next year in July, July 17th through the 21st, if I call correctly, up in Schenectady, which should be really awesome. Now, problem is that also collides with another thing I want to go to, so I'm trying to figure out which one I'm going to be going to, whether I'm going to go into the blowout or I going to another thing which I also care a lot about. So I might be going, I might not be going. We'll just have to wait and see on that. In the meantime, though, obviously we have Gamers of Winter coming up, and you know, we tried running a tournament last time for the Gamers of Summer, and we didn't get that many people. We actually got a couple people, which weren't for the tournament. I told them how to play, but they're also, I think what they were expecting when they got there, they were expecting a tournament which is basically more, when it comes to the pieces and so forth, more like X-Wing. I think that is what they were expecting. They were expecting to have ships, you know, the actual painted miniatures, possibly, you know, be more of eye-catching than what was presented. You know, okay, this is Starfleet Battle. This is at the core what it is.
Well, I thought the older gentleman had actually played before. And they just wanted to check it out and
right.
Watch people play to learn how to play.
Right. Oh, agreed there. But I'm hoping that they had a good time doing what we were doing. Obviously, we never got to the quote end of the game, you know. We kind of didn't. It was.
Well, it can be an overwhelming thing for a brand new player. And the one guy was a brand new player. The other guy had played before, but it had been like a decade or two. It was a long time.
Okay. Yeah. Agreed. I wish we could have gotten some more people there, some actually SMB players to at least play, you know, a tournament game against, like, maybe just have, you know.
Well, one of our SFP players was kind of sucked away into Twilight Imperium.
Yeah. Well, I
which happened.
Oh, understood. I feel like that if we could at least had a third player, we could have, you know, between Barry, me, and that other player, we could have kind of had, you know, a mini tournament, you know, at the very least. But I'm sure, you know, Barry didn't want to just play against me, you know. If he could.
Know, I think what might be really interesting is instead of maybe a tournament, maybe run the classic captain's game.
You mean the captain's campaign?
I mean, that could be done over the course of a weekend. It's a handful of scenarios. And you can switch places easily to do it.
Understood.
And some of the scenarios, you might be able to get away with counting them as double. You know, player A versus player B as part of their captain thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they move on to the next, you know, the next column. Switch places. You know, each of them has to play against the other, but in different things based on each of those scenarios.
Right.
That's a very doable thing for a weekend. And very amenable to, like, casual pickup play.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to an extremely structured, you know, bracket of you have to get a certain... And it's a thing because it allows you to play with the actual victory condition rules from the game and not the tournament victory condition of, you know, utterly obliterate your opponent within 3 hours.
Right.
I think it's more in the spirit of the game than the tournament is, personally.
Oh, understood. I understand your perspective, because I know there are multiple people that say, "Oh, that, you know, the tournament is just it's not really true, you know, Starfleet battles, you know."
Well, it is within a certain set. I mean, it's the same basic ship with the same basic rules and an enclosed space.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of a point I've tried to make in the past with Starfleet battles, something I try to tell people when they want to learn to play, is that it's not all the tournament. It's also, it's a huge kind of, you know, multi-layered cake in its own way. Because of the different ways you can play it, whether it's point value fight, you know, equal point value on ship on ship, or scenarios of some kind, whether it's campaign scenarios, you know, where each part of the campaign affects the next, or whether it's, you know, historical scenarios, or even solitaire ones with the monsters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's different levels that can be played on, and it can be played on, you know, even more levels by the different ship classes that you can play. So, but it has, you know, it has some limitations.
Right.
Some of those limitations are addressed in Fed Commander. Yeah, not all of them are, but that's a whole other topic for another night.
Yeah.
The big thing with the SFD is that there is such a wide array of choices that often just get narrowed down into a tournament play kind of thing. And that can be kind of a turnoff to a new player. I mean, it's like, you know, when I taught people, I taught them open map. You know, here's the actual victory condition. Your ship gets messed up enough and you think you're not going to be able to win, you can run away. You can lessen the victory conditions for the opponent. You know, it's not always a bloody fight to the bloody, gritty end. So, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood. Usually tournaments are rarely... games are rarely played to the actual end. It's usually until one person realizes that they have no hope of winning the game that they usually concede. But yeah, I know that Patient Zero has mentioned how, you know, really should, you know, I think he thought that the tournament was not really a true view of SFB, and that they should use BPV to create like a fleet or, you know, when it comes to SFB, you don't want, in my mind, you don't want, really want to do fleets. Possibly squadrons. Because I'm not sure if the squadrons that currently are played when it comes to FedCom, because that's one thing that they did do is for the FedCom tournament, they actually had squadrons, which was one of these days I would love to actually sit down and talk with Ken Burnside, because he came up with this beautiful new way of running a tournament for FedCom, and we tried to use it the first time at Origins, and unfortunately this was after Ken left, and it's like, okay, we're missing a lot of details here of how it was supposed to go. And I'm sure there was a lot of things that were left in his head that never made it to the page. So we went, okay, we did a fallback on that.
Outside of driving people out, but yeah.
Yeah. Because it was supposed to be, the whole idea was that you got a point value for the win, you know, based on destructions, internals, and that kind of thing. And I think the idea was the person with the most points, you know, would be going to the next round kind of thing. I think that was a weird tournament, and we fell back on, no, because let's just make it simple, win or lose, you know. The first person to concede, okay, they lose. Or the first person to destroy the other person's fleet, you know, which never happened. It's basically the same thing as for the SFB tournament, i.e., they would keep playing until, or 3 hours was the time limit. They would play until one person was obviously going to win the scenario. You know, so. And the tough part, obviously, when it comes to that, we can always get into the whole issue with BPV and the whole issue with BPV. BPV is trying to give you an idea of how strong the ship is. The problem with BPV, in my mind, and I've said this, and I'm sure people who've listened to the podcast long enough have heard it, which is that this is a single value. It really doesn't tell you how well one ship is going, or one combination of ships are going to go up against another combination of ships, or one empire versus another empire. And one thing that we did with the FedCom tournament online, because we actually did run a few of probably 3 or 4 FedCom online tournaments. And actually, it turned out pretty well. The one thing that we did is that we added a multiplier, i.e., depending upon your empire, you get more or less ships. And this was because you were still flying in the fishbowl. Sorry. Yeah. Still flying in the fishbowl. So it's not really true fleet action, because true fleet action, true fleet action is never, in my mind, is never or rarely in open space. You don't do that. In theory, you would do that, that you'd be far enough away from a static point that you're trying to defend. But there's a point where even you're as a defender, that you're going to be pushed far enough that you can't push back any further, you know? So, because the thing is with open space battles, yeah, the whole issue that you can actually keep on running away from your seeking weapons of the other person. Now, obviously then we have to worry about the whole issue of disengagement and that kind of thing, where you're gone too far away from your opponent. You know, the question then is, okay, how large do you make the board? Or how far can you be away from your opponent? You know, is it that, okay, after you've exceeded like range 35, if you're outside of range 35, then you've disengaged, you know, in that case, you lost the scenario, so you can't run away that far away from your seeking weapons of your opponent. You know, it gets...
Okay, there's two divergent things in that whole bit. You know, the first thing is the real problem with the BTG is that it kind of worked in the very beginning of the publishing of the game when it was few core ships that were, and you know, you didn't have like a bazillion variants. But the more complicated you make the thing by adding variants and different weapon systems and different races with different weapon systems and so forth and so on, that just really kind of like it kicks the support out of the BTG system slightly. You know, it's a hard thing to balance because there's so many variables that you could get one little thing and that unhooks the entire structure of the game. But then the other thing is, like, when you're talking about why do you fight on an open map versus a point to defend, well, that's kind of like, look at the scenario. You know, that's why they have a lot of scenarios, because they want to define, here's something other than just the base game. You know, here's something to fight over, instead of we kind of make a battle pass and one of us gets messed up and the other doesn't and then disengages.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're right in that in the open space game, why do you want to fight for an extended period of time? Unless maybe you're looking at a sector domination thing. Whoever gives up the fight first is leaving the sector, you know. Whereas with a point defense thing of we're defending planet X, and then you're talking about, well, there's your scenario winning condition, and it's not just a matter of the BTG.
Mm-hmm.
It's something to fight to the death over.
Right, versus, right. Oh, understood. You know, when it comes
a few passes at each other. Mm-hmm. But then you also look at the scale of the thing, where you're talking about, you know, look at some of the interactions you have of Federation and Empire, because that is SFD just, you know, abstracted to one more level. And there, when you have those fights, it's really like, if you're not defending a very specific point, like a planetary defense or a base, you still have a lot of those open space fights. And how long those last literally depends on who feels like taking what kind of casualties. You know, when do they decide to withdraw? And quite frankly, it's like, this game was made in the 70s originally. And a lot of the things that, you know, we'll come back and talk about are stuff that we've had 40 years to consider, you know, 40, 50 years to consider. You know, things like, you know, how do you pin somebody down? Well, you don't. You know, unless that's the only way you're going to pin them down is if you find a resource they refuse to give up. They want to defend that point X.
Yeah,
there's that. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree with the idea of you can't just play BPVs without a scenario, because a scenario, the great thing about having an actual scenario is obviously the story. You come into this place in the story, and then you play it out, and then you become part of the story, which I think is definitely it's a good thing. It helps you get more engaged and more involved. If you can at least imagine yourself playing as a character, you know, a captain or admiral or whatever, in this scenario, you know, where you actually become, as I said, you become part of the story. Because that's one thing that I've heard mentioned multiple times on the podcast Three Moves Ahead, which is the whole idea of narrative. You know, you play a game and then there's a narrative that gets that is part of it throughout your gameplay. And then what you can do throughout the gameplay is take that narrative that actually you're part of and created, and it tells a story, because that's the whole idea of a narrative, is it tells a story.
Right. And one of the things with coming back, circling back to like what could make that, you know, more interesting at a convention event is if, say, we run the captain's game, and, you know, Captain A and Captain B, for their dual scenario, they actually have to fight each other as their captain. So even though it would be an open space duel, they might be willing to fight it out a bit more to try to get the victory condition going in favor. Yeah. And it gives more, like you said, more of they're in the narrative of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So. And I think that's probably what, you know, is lacking when you have, you know, tournament play. You know, you don't have a narrative. You have, I won this battle, I won that battle, and that's it. You know, it's like. But also, if you want to have new players, you know, demos followed by the the PF Derby could be an interesting and memorable thing for a first time player. But what's going to draw veteran players out of the woodwork? You know, what's going to get them to come out from, you know, playing with their buddy at their place on a weekend? You know, could it be maybe, you know, a combination of different things? Like, maybe some people would come out to play, you know, a 10 or 15 person captain's game. Maybe, you know, people would come out to play a large fleet scenario where it's an attack on a starbase or an attack on, you know, a web base kind of thing, going cutting base or spiral.
Hmm?
You know, just something that, you know, takes 6 or 7 players versus, you know, the 2 or 3 that you might, or 4 you might have on a weekend. I don't know. And it's like, what I was thinking is maybe this is stuff that can be put into like a survey or a questionnaire, even just something like a Facebook post that says, hey, would you come out for this, this, or this? And you can add others. What would be interesting to you at our event?
Mm-hmm. Understood. Okay, well, I think with that, I think we will wrap it up for this evening. Doug, it's always a pleasure having you around.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. It's awesome.
Okay. Have a good night.
Good night.
So, obviously, tonight was a kind of a grab bag of of stuff from SFB scenarios to the tournament play to just talking about websites and some of the future, what future holds for SFB Online and Starfleet Warlord, which actually moving forward on that, because have the SWA website, which now is still pretty bare. I definitely want to now improve that some so that it actually can do things like, have it so that it actually can check, you know, and validate the orders, which I think is what people currently are looking for at the minimum, which is having so people can enter in orders and then validate them. Obviously, the next section with that would be just to submit. That's playing and something should be playing. And is submit the orders to me, and hopefully to have it so the whole thing's automated. So at some point after the game gets set up, because I think about Starfleet Warlord, I think about automate the whole thing. And I went, you know, the one thing that cannot be automated at this moment in time is the start of the game. Because the problem is selecting where people get placed and entering the orders. You know, obviously there might be a way of doing that, but wait and see. One step at a time, and hopefully that step won't be off a cliff. Well, anyway, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.